57. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 46 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
And good morning and welcome in to a Monday edition of Inside the Locker Room, 205-342-9904. Lots to talk about, this morning. Download the app, the Tide 100.9 app. Get that on your smartphone. You can take us with you anywhere you go. And if you want to email us, do that at wimpandbarry@yahoo.com. I got some questions for you today after Dad gives his deal this morning. But I have some real questions about college football that I want you guys to call us or app messages or emails, because I need some answers. My only disappointment, guys, was that we're getting Dad back. We lost him there. When I said 2 weeks ago, if Alabama beat Auburn, they were in the playoff. It did not matter what happened in the SEC championship. I said it didn't matter, and I stuck firm to that. And then I wavered last week, and in essence, I was 100% right. Alabama did not move a muscle after a very poor performance in Atlanta. A very poor performance, and they didn't. And everybody was saying they were going to be out. It was going to be between Alabama and Miami. I think the committee got it right. I don't think you punish a team for making it to the championship game there, regardless of how bad they play and how much they lose. And so my only disappointment is that I did not stick to my guns on that, because I really believed it. BYU losing got them out, and so then at that point, there was never any doubt that Alabama would be in the playoff, according to the committee and what they said yesterday. So I can't believe that I wavered on that at all. Yellowwood pressure-treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, then you certainly don't want it. Go to yellowwood.com to find the dealer that is closest to you. Good morning, Chase. How are you, sir? Good. Chase got his Mississippi State Bulldogs. And I can't believe these teams. I always heard extra bowl practice. It helps your young kids. You get all these extra practices. Well, you got teams turning down bowl bids left and right. Why? Because they don't want to lose money. They don't want the portal. What is it? But now that's not as big a deal anymore. And shame on Notre Dame. They picked up their ball and went home. What are you sending? Message are you sending to the kids there? Good morning, Dad. How are you doing this morning?
Doing okay. I lost you, so I don't know exactly what you said. So I'll probably repeat some of these things. I think committee did a good job.
I do too.
And that's not because of being Alabama people, but I think what's happened here is strength of schedule was huge. And when you go by strength of schedule, the entire game and the four times that Alabama played teams are really great in a row, I think it had something to do with it. Secondly, I don't think you should be punished for playing in championship game. If you play in the championship game and you get beat two or three touchdowns, everybody gets mad. But you should be punished for that. You're not gonna get quite as high as you did, but you're not gonna be punished for that. Generally speaking, they have not ever turned Notre Dame down for anything, and they're not in a league, which is not right. They've already bragged about that, and so they got left out. And I think the head guy at Arkansas did a good job of running the selection committee deal, and certainly a big win by Indiana that we always criticize and say they can't do anything. Ohio State, I thought, was really, really big. Alabama will open up the series on the 19th, which will be Friday week, against a very good Oklahoma team with it, who they've already played. And we'll go from there. So if you have complaints about the schedule, you probably don't, but if you do, we'll welcome your calls. I will mention one other thing. Alabama ladies won their 10th in a row. She does a terrific job over there. And I saw one of her players at church yesterday, and I'm certainly going to get her on this week. Okay, that's it. Sorry.
All right, I got a question. And you were at our house last night, and I got some boys that are in college, and they're loyal to Alabama. They're not like these fans now that hear guys talking about Ryan Grubb and the offensive line. Guy needs to be fired. You're so ridiculous when you say stuff like that. Here's my only question. In every sport, in basketball, if your point guard's turning the ball over and he's not shooting a good percentage, I'm talking about other than fouls, you take him out. You continue to do those things, you bench him. And you may start another guy. Baseball, obviously, it's different. I understand. Your guy's not pitching well, you take him out. I thought that Alabama should have tried. This is not just an Alabama problem. It's not a problem. I thought Alabama should have tried a new quarterback. Just not down on Ty. He just wasn't playing well. So for a couple of series, just try somebody new. My boys went crazy. He got you here. You can't take him out. He'll lose his confidence. Well, he's losing it anyway. Coach Saban was the same way, but he.
Well, whose fault is that?
But Coach Saban almost was the same way. Hugh Freeze would never change.
Whose fault is that? Whose fault is that?
What do you mean whose fault is?
I want to know whose fault it is that he's playing poorly.
It's a combination of all of them. It's him. It's a team game.
You have a chance to win. You have a chance to win if the people around you are playing well and the people around him were not playing well.
It's everybody in football. It takes the line. It takes the running backs. It takes the receivers.
Well, why don't you take them all out, Barry?
They do. They've benched linemen. Ryan Williams, they benched him in the Auburn game. He only played half the snaps. But we won't ever, and not just Alabama, college football coaches won't ever put the backup quarterback in and let him play. They do bench linemen.
I think they're exactly right by not doing it.
And my boys and you say you can't take him out. Well, I'm not being critical of him. I'm just saying, right, maybe it'll help him to go there two possessions and watch.
Why don't you look and see why he's having problems? Who in the line's not blocking?
Well, I think they take those guys out, though. They move those guys out.
Oh, baloney.
They don't. I've seen them change the line during the game.
They don't.
They do. They didn't last against Auburn. Ryan Williams didn't play half the snaps.
Okay.
Chase, why is it in football that we won't put another guy in and let him? Now, I heard some guy.
Why is it you're fussing about a guy that got you to the final?
I'm not fussing about him. He's had a great year. He's just struggled the last three or four games. So my question.
So get him out of there.
I'm not saying bench him for the entire game. I'm saying take him out a couple series.
Just have him lose his confidence.
And let Keelan Russell or Matt come in there and see what they can do.
I don't want you coaching my team.
Well, why do you bench your point guard when he's not playing well?
I don't.
You do?
No, I don't.
Everybody
knows.
Basketball.
I didn't ever bench Terry Connor.
Well, probably wasn't ever playing poorly. He probably didn't ever play poorly. Consistently.
I never benched Gary
Wade. You did. And basketball coaches will. Well, and I'm not saying tries not. Now, some guy that calls in Martin's show and talking about the coaches and saying this, they have the best talent in the country. Guys, let me roll some names off at you. Derrick Henry, Najee Harris, Josh Jacobs, Jamar Gibbs, even Brian Robinson, Mark Ingram. Chase, what do all these guys have in common? They were terrific players at Alabama, and they went on to the NFL and had Alabama does not have it. They have missed in recruiting and running backs. Now, you can say, hey, the Lions, now they don't have an NFL guy running. How can you say they have the most talent in the country? They don't have any NFL. I know you didn't. They don't have any NFL running backs. That's what they used to having here. Ryan Grubb showed up and looked at these running backs. He ain't got none. I mean, they're okay, but they're not All-Americans, and they're not first-team All-SEC, and so
You play with what you've got.
I understand that. So my point is that to say they have the best talent in the country, that's asinine.
Well, who worries about a goober calling in and saying that? I just turned them off.
I'm just saying. I don't understand why you don't try a new quarterback for a couple series. Just let the guy come over there, watch for a series or two. It probably would help him. But it's not. That's not Kalen DeBoer. That's every coach in the country in football won't do it. I just want to know why. Are they guys going to lose his confidence because you take him out of series?
There's no point in taking him out. If the offensive line's not, if the blind,
did you see some of those passes he was throwing?
Yeah. You saw that pressure he had?
I mean, that fourth down play.
You mean you don't answer.
He had some pressure, he didn't have pressure the whole game.
He didn't play great the whole game.
He hadn't played good in a while. He hasn't played good in a while.
Well, you were loving Ryan Grubbs back the first of the year.
Ryan Grubb hadn't come out of my mouth other than people saying you're bitching about
the quarterback, but he was really good early.
He was good early. He was.
Get him out of there then. Just get him out when he.
I'm not saying bench him. I'm not saying put him on the bench for the entire game. I'm saying you got two really good options over there.
I'll tell you something else, stupid. The guy that took the job at Virginia Tech kept the former head coach as the defensive coordinator. He's terrible.
He was with him before Penn State, so there's a.
I don't care. He ain't no
good. Well, he doesn't think he's terrible. He's worked with him.
Well, that don't make no difference. You think you're right, you're dead wrong.
I'm not wrong. It's an opinion.
Oh, yeah.
There's not a right or wrong. I mean, obviously, college coach, football coaches know a lot more than I do. They agree with you and my boys. Don't ever take that quarterback out. So we should have never taken Jalen Milroe out last year. And now we should never take this kid out for a couple series. And I mean, Keelan Russell's pretty darn good, man. He might come in there and be able to. You saying the line's not blocking? Well, that guy's got tremendous legs. He can take off out of there and go. It's not. So if Hugh Freeze would have tried Deuce Knight, he's sat there and stuck with Jackson, whatever his name is.
Did not know his quarterbacks. He didn't know their abilities.
Why stay with him?
He shouldn't have. He didn't have well,
you, according to you, he should have. Stay with him.
You got a guy like Ty has brought you that far.
I'm not down on Ty. He's just not playing well. I'm not down on him. He's a great kid. He's had a great year. But he hadn't played well here lately.
Your kid at quarterback.
I wouldn't have been mad if they put him down for two series. I'm not saying you're just trying to help him. You're trying to win. You're not worried about one guy. You're trying to win. 2 minute truck there at 1330 Martin Road East. That's where you go pick up your boxers, your packing supplies, whatever you need to make this a smooth move. It's local, out of town, out of state, no problem. But the professionals handle it. Give them a call today. It's 205-247-5050. 2 minute in a truck. Movers, who care?
Here's what what's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Monday morning. ICE arrests in Alabama are up, way up. They're rising thanks to cooperation between ICE, LIA, and many local county sheriffs and police departments. Some 3,000 immigrants from 55 countries have been detained this year in Alabama. That's more than double the rate for 2024. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather coverage all throughout the day. It's absolutely free. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Well, it's been a smooth morning thus far, and it keeps going, but we are starting to get a little more volume on the area freeways and side streets. If you're moving about 43 southbound at McFarland, you'll find yourself slowing down a bit more at that intersection back to Eleanor Street. And then we also move up.
And don't forget their famous catch-all batter. Bring that Catfish Heaven flavor home. Pick up a bag in local stores. Catfish Heaven, where every bite gets its halo.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
We'll forecast a clearing sky today, becoming partially sunny this afternoon, the high 48. Clear and cold tonight, the low 26. For tomorrow and Wednesday, partly to mostly sunny both days. The high tomorrow 52, the high Wednesday 57. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 46 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Want to know what's going on with the Crimson Tide? Download the Tide 100.9 app today.
Score! Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring. Snowing and blowing.
Welcome back to Inside Locker. I'm going to read Pressure Treated Pine from Grace. I'm going to read the messages that came in. Yellowwood brings you this 7 o'clock hour. Now, I only read the ones that come in. Agree with you, Barry. Listening to show through app down in South Alabama. Pull the pitcher, bench the point guard, and we've benched everyone that's played it poorly except the QB. I love Wimp, but you're correct. Not taking Milroe out last year sunk us, and we are doing the same
you
now.
You laid all that crap.
All right, Jason. So do you think Saban made the mistake when he pulled Jalen Hurts in the national championship game? He pulled him. So does Wimp think that they're asking, do you think Saban made the wrong call there? Jalen got you there. He got you there. Why'd you pull him?
That's right.
So Tua comes in and wins the national championship. Oh, my God, Wimp is 100% wrong. Thank God Saban pulled Jalen in the national championship.
No, they find one thing in Dan. That's where they are.
And then we have a nap message that came in. Barry, don't ever pick Bama to lose to UGA again. I just think if you think it, just don't say it. I was afraid it was going to happen as myself. That's the problem with people, and I know he's halfway kidding. Is that I tell you what I really think. So if it's not pro Alabama, then people get mad. I'm just telling you what I mean. I thought Georgia.
Well, I thought too. I thought Georgia. I didn't say it because I wasn't asked.
Yeah. Well, I thought Georgia was going to win the game.
I did pick Texas Tech and win my blue plate.
You did win your blue plate. You did. And I got to look at Doug's. I don't even know how you did. So it puts you at 500, 9-9. But people are agreeing. We bench everybody else. Good morning, Philip. How are you?
Oh, boy. I don't even know where to start. Yes, I felt
Philip,
like
didn't you? Dad and I were talking about you last night.
Oh, Philip picked Georgia.
He two Alabama. Touchdowns.
He picked Alabama.
Didn't you, Philip?
I felt good about the game. I mean, I'm not going to go back on that. I felt good about it. I knew that it was going to be a tough challenge, but.
You said 2-3 touchdown, didn't you?
No, I said Alabama 23-21.
23-21. I thought a mistake, too. And my boys got mad at me about this. When it's 21-7 and you're trying to get in the playoff, I don't think you go for it on fourth down. I think you punt it. I don't think you want to get killed. I think you punt it. Georgia plays conservative. They're not going to go down there and try to score. They're going to just ball control. And now you lose. You drive it down there. You kick a field goal. You lose 21-10. That looks a lot better than 28-7. I thought that was a humongous mistake to go for it. down there on the 10-yard. Now, I understand why he went for it, and I'm not saying his mentality is wrong. I'm trying to win the game. But at that point, you realize we probably ain't winning this game. Let's keep it close so we can get in the playoff. Now, they did anyway.
You're like a normal fan. You decide everything after the game's over.
No, I said that to my people when they went for it. I said that was stupid. And and they got mad at me.
I thought that was stupid, too.
Well, Barry, at halftime, as flat as I felt, at 14-0 deficit at halftime, Alabama got the ball to start the third quarter, and I'm sitting there thinking, well, you know, if they can drum up something right here, then, you know, there's a chance. You know, there's a chance you can crawl back into the game, even though it has looked very, very ugly. But that's where the game just, you know, did it flatline from there. It was a flat line. And then the first possession, the second half, was a flat line. And I knew at that point it was a pretty much a lost cause then. And it was a little bit early to give up on it. But I did. I gave up on them. It reminded me a lot of several losses over the years. But, you know, it reminded me of that Fiesta Bowl game when Stallings was the coach. And we went out there and got slaughtered by Louisville in the Fiesta Bowl. We just had no chance. You knew we weren't going to win, and that's kind of the way I felt at the start of the second half Saturday.
Harry Stadberger was the coach of Louisville.
That's right. And they bombarded us. But anyway, that's history. But going forward, Barry, and this is what the show is all about, is current state of affairs. The excitement level for Alabama going to Norman, I'm not feeling it.
Not yet. I think it's just relief right now. Everybody had Alabama buried. I wish, I'm so disappointed in myself that I didn't stick to my guns. If they beat Auburn, they were in 100%. I believed it with all my heart, and the committee proved that what I was saying was 100% right, and I wavered on it when I looked at that BYU. But I did say if BYU lost, then Alabama was definitely in. And so I thought the committee, I don't know why they had Notre Dame ahead of Miami to begin with. I thought they got it right, and I thought Notre Dame looked a bunch of spoiled brats. When it got down to those two, head-to-head had to matter.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I think, the 5 through 12, you know, I think Notre Dame's got a good team now.
Sure. So does Vanderbilt.
I think they do. They've got a very good team, and I would, if Alabama played either one of those teams this coming Saturday, I'd take either one of those teams over Alabama.
Yeah, they're not playing well.
No, they're not. They're averaging 18 points a game in their last three SEC games, which they've only won one of those. So Alabama's not playing well. I don't know what they can do to turn it around. I honestly don't. And, you know, I kept thinking from my recliner, I kept thinking the other day that there was going to be a quarterback change, but, you know, it didn't happen. I would have been interested to see how that would have affected the team at that point in time, but that's something we'll never know, is it?
That's right. All right, Philip. Thank you, sir.
Thank y'all.
All right, another email coming in from Mike, and I want you to respond to this one, Dad. Let me get through it. Benching the QB. Barry, I totally agree with you. Benching Ty would only help him get a better perspective. He would not lose his confidence because he plays better as a person playing competitively. If you're a backup QB under DeBoer, you don't see the field. This is terrible. I'm not saying DeBoer is a terrible coach. What is the harm in having a second QB ready to play? Bear did it when he wasn't a bad coach, and he had some success. Roll Tide. So Coach Bryant would play the backup quarterback, he's saying. Dad, is that true?
He probably did some. I get it. They played quite differently. They were, once they got the wishbone in there, they stayed with it pretty close. And reading the defense was critical for the quarterback, and he had to have a smart quarterback. He's probably changed some. I just think it. I don't. You know, we give answers after it's over.
We don't know. I mean, yeah. I just don't think they ever even considered. All right, back to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Randy?
Hey, Barry. Hey, Coach. How are y'all doing this morning?
All right.
We're okay.
All right, just a couple of points here, and you can select whichever one you want to talk about. My observations. Number one is I understand, you know, coaches talking about benching a quarterback. That would not have been the right time to put a freshman or someone like Mac in. You know, they and the
coach is
that they're not ready. But my point is this: is that on the first game of the year when Texas and Ohio State were playing, the quarterback for Ohio State was a freshman. And I know I know about all the snaps and practice and all that, but just a couple of years ago, Texas A&M beat us, and they had two freshman tackles. And Tennessee did the same thing to us a year after that with two freshman offensive tackles. So freshmen, while being inexperienced, are not inept. I mean, you just have to you have to call some plays that'll help them. And I tell you what, one thing Alabama's lacking is a running threat at quarterback. And Ty, I know, is beat up and is trying to avoid contact. You could see when he fell down of his own volition on that fourth down play, he didn't want to get hit. So, you know, the last half of the season, teams are just were just playing two deep safeties on us, knew that they could stop our run with six in the box, and they just sat back and took away the deep ball and stopped our run game. And so my point on that is this, is that I know a lot of people have questioned why can't we run the ball better, and I know the talent thing with running backs and all that, but this is just my take on that as an overall philosophy, and that is this. Our head coach, and I love him, and I want him to work out here. I've met the guy, and I think he's a jam-up guy. But his philosophy and Grubb's philosophy has the emphasis on the pass. And you're just not going to be great at two things. And we've chosen an offensive philosophy that wants to be great at throwing the ball, and that means that you're going to do it at the expense of running the ball. We got a Pac-12 mentality.
All right, Randy, let me ask you this. I'm gonna push back on you a little bit here about your – all right, so when Nick Saban took Jalen Hurts out, who was the SEC Offensive Player of the Year, he put in a freshman in Tua. Keelan Russell was a number one quarterback in the country in high school. So they tried a freshman then. So these guys aren't freshmen now. They're 13 games into practices and all that.
Oh, no. I agree with you. I'm just saying, I'm pushing back against what Coach is.
I got you.
Julian Sayin is going to probably play for the national championship. He's a freshman.
Right. Okay. I'm sorry. I thought you were saying you couldn't change because the freshman wasn't ready. You're saying Julian Sayin. I don't think he played very good against Indiana, to be honest with you. I'm not as high on him.
Didn't. My point is that Ty, the reason Ty hasn't started until his redshirt junior year is because he cannot overcome the anxiety from making bad plays and the pressure, and that plagued him the last half of the year. That's why he couldn't get.
I don't know if we. I thought they should have tried him last year in Oklahoma.
I
think he's struggling a little bit. Thank you, Randy. All right, we got to get to break here. We'll get to Max when we get back from Great U.S. Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Well, it's been a smooth morning thus far, and it keeps going, but we are starting to get a little more volume on the area freeways and side streets. If you're moving about 43 southbound at McFarland, you'll find yourself slowing down a bit more at that intersection back to Eleanor Street. And then we also move
on track 2 is delayed.
And all the while, you were on your commute home. There's more to imagine when you listen. Discover romance titles on Audible.
Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry. On your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back. Inside Locker Room. Pressure-treated pine from Great Southern Wood. You want to build the five-star backyard? There's only one choice. That would be Yellowwood. Go to yellowwood.com. Find the dealer closest to you right to the Yellowwood hotline. He, former football coach at Florida State, Ole Miss radio personality throughout the South, joins us every Monday during college football. Max Howell. Good morning, Max. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Max. Great, guys. How y'all this morning?
Well, Dad and I are arguing this morning, Max. Max, and I'm not just talking about Alabama. I see this across the country. In basketball, your point guard's not playing well. Guy's not doing – you put him on the bench. In baseball, guy's not throwing strikes. You get him out of there. Guy's not hitting. You get him out – take him out of the lineup a couple games, let him sit, then you get him back in. Why do college football coaches not – ever try the backup quarterback? I'm not saying bench tie for the season or anything like that. Just, hey, couple series, let Mack or Russell come in there, see if they can give you a spark. Nick Saban didn't do it much. He did do it in the national championship game with Tua, replacing Jalen. But it seems, and people, my boys and dad are mad at me because I thought that, you know, you can't do that to him. He'll lose his confidence. It's not his fault. It's the line's fault. It's the running back's fault. It's everybody else's fault but his. I mean, it's a team game. Why do coaches not take the quarterback out and let him sit for a couple series?
That starts at the NFL level.
Where?
That all starts at the NFL. How many times you see the quarterback change out in the NFL? They don't do that, and that's where it's where it emanates down from, regardless of, you know, of their performance. But guys, to start, you got to. I understand what you're saying, but it doesn't necessarily start with it. Starts with who calls the plays. Sometimes when you backed up inside the 20, and you got four down and two, and you throw a 40-yard pass, that ain't very smart in my book. That's what we saw happen the other day. So I'd like to take it beyond just the player. Execution of the play on the field, put that guy in a situation where it's a percentage game, but you know you can get 2 yards or 5 yards or 10, whatever you're going after. Sometimes I don't think they think through. I don't know whether it's a heat of the moment, the pressure that gets on even the coaching staff, but something happens. And I charted that ball game just like I do everywhere. There were several calls in there that it's almost like, let's call this play and hope it works.
Yeah.
Not we're sure it's going to work for whatever reason. So I don't know. I saw that. I saw exactly. In fact, I didn't think Alabama would go to the playoffs. I thought they lost that ball game. That dropped from the three. Losses, and I know they played well in the middle of the season, but I thought momentum had a lot to do with it, and they hadn't played well the last couple of ball games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just saw some weaknesses in that thing at that level that they probably, but they were taken. So here we go.
Yeah.
They got to line up, take it to Oklahoma, go to Norman, and what I'm worried about out there in a couple of the rule infractions. That Oklahoma, the wide receiver situation at Auburn, more than anybody else, there was never an apology or anything on that. That plays in their playbook, which is an illegal play, basically. It's a deception play. Let's put it that way. I'm concerned for Alabama if they go out there and jock around a little bit, they ain't going much further than that.
Yeah, that.
Well, I everybody's entitled to an agreement. I just don't, confidence wise, I don't want to lose my quarterback who's got me there. But I'm not going to argue about it anymore. I think it's going to be a very tough game at Oklahoma. Oklahoma's pressure defense is good. Alabama's offensive line waves at them a lot of times, and they get to him. And I think it's going to be the strength of. Georgia, people said, was not going to be rushing the passer, but it darn sure it was.
Yes, it was.
They, as I've said all along, when you play Georgia, you end up seeing a team that adjusts very well during the game as you get points out. Don't you agree to that? I think
I absolutely agree with that. I think Kirby's done as good a job as he's ever done coaching on the sideline. He takes what you give him and makes the best out of it. By, you know, whether it's just the personnel or whether it's just the scheme or whatever it may be. I know percentage wise they were due. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But they came to play on top of that, I thought. And like I say, sometimes this past year, in critical situations, Alabama just didn't step it up a notch. And they had, historically, they've done that. So I don't know whether that's the preparation they do from Monday to Friday or what, but sometimes that end results on Saturday doesn't get the job done. It certainly didn't get done this past week, but they lose the game, but they still get to, you know, they get the tournament, and they go back to, you know, playing a team that they lost to before. That's going to be, a very interesting ball game.
Yeah, no, I hear people just have no clue that, you know, Alabama was successful against Oklahoma's defense, which they were. They moved the ball. They three turnovers killed them.
Right.
But I think that helps Oklahoma in preparation for Alabama. Those defensive coaches are not used to people getting yards on them. So in their preparation, they'll have these guys attention. Not that they wouldn't anyway at the playoffs, but I mean, they really will pay attention to detail, and they will not want that to happen again. So just because it happened here in Tuscaloosa does not mean it can happen in Norman, Oklahoma. I think it'll be that much harder to move the football against this defense, Max.
Yeah, oh, I agree 100%. I mean, I think Oklahoma's improved since that ball game on top of that. And I think they're playing with a drive right now. And for some reason, Alabama, it wasn't just the game this past week, but the last couple of ball games, in critical situations, you know, either threw a pick or didn't make a – if they went to it on fourth down or third long, they didn't make the first. And just several little things along the way that built up. Guys, in my opinion, that's what you do from Monday to Friday. You try to perfect those things. But for some reason, the end results weren't there as far as what I'm saying. Like I say, I sit and chart it just like I was coaching them next week. And I pull out my notes and almost pinpoint, you know, the things that you should work on during the week. And obviously they didn't. I mean, the evidence was that they didn't. They may have, but it didn't work on Saturday. That's what really counts.
Max, when I look at the tradition of Alabama, Derrick Henry, Najee Harris, Josh Jacobs, Jamar Gibbs, Brian Robinson, right, Damian Harris, Mark Ingram. I mean, the running backs that have come through here, Trent Richardson, you can go on and on and on. People are talking about this running game. I think they missed in recruiting. I mean, some guy was trying to argue with him. Well, A.K. Deer was ranked this, that, the other. Well, he hadn't showed it since he got here. Now, he hadn't really gotten the opportunity. But they don't have the Jimmies and Joes in the back field. Now, Dad says it's the line, or I don't know exactly what he's saying there. I don't think he thinks they got as much. I don't think they have as much talent there. So if you don't have, but Alabama fans are saying they got the most talent in the country. They got the most, but they don't. I mean, there's no NFL guy in the backfield that I see. Do you? Maybe A.K. Deer will get there. He's just a freshman. But right now, they don't have a good running game because they don't have very good running backs.
Well, you're right. That's one thing. But here's, you go back to practice during the week. You know, the difference between a running game, blocking a running game, and blocking a passing game, a running game, you put your hand in the dirt and you take a step forward. In a passing game, the first step you take is backwards. And I think that plays a major role. I've yet to see in all the years, and I was on the sideline somewhere for about 25 years, I've yet to meet a passing team that could run the ball very well because they don't practice it. You have to practice a timing on a passing game and spend the time with the offensive line blocking by stepping back first. And I think that carries over. I think it's the mental situation more than anything else. And that doesn't allow your running backs, whether you got them or not, Barry, to improve. You ain't going to improve on Saturday afternoon in four quarters. No matter how many, if you take 40 snaps, you're still not going to improve because of the competition. But practice during the week is where you should perfect those if the guys up front aren't doing it, you start shuffling them around and find the right guys that can do it. You might the tackle, you know, said before out there is not doing very well, move him to guard if his feet's not good enough. Little things like that, when you analyze what you do every day, and of course, when I first started, you didn't take practices. Later, before I got through, we taped every drill. And then we'd have a coaches meeting after that, and we'd grade it out every afternoon, every night. But we'd practice during the week to see how to perform. Sometimes I don't know where that gets lost, or I don't. The end result is all I can measure. And you're right. Right now, Alabama can't run the football. They've chosen not to run the football because, you know, the facts are they don't do it very well.
Yeah, that.
Well, I don't really have anything else. I just think it. I think when you've got a guy that everything is built around him. The other people have to help him. His coach, as coach has mentioned 100 times, you play the way your surrounding other 10 players play with you. And I don't think it is. So that's really all I got.
Max, Notre Dame, Iowa State, Kansas State, bowl eligible. They opt out of a bowl. They don't want to get in a bowl. Then Florida State, Auburn, Central Florida, Baylor, Kansas, Rutgers, Temple were all offered an opportunity because they had to fill the bowls. They all declined. What happened to all this extra practice time and how good it was for these young kids and your development and all that? Now they're declining bowls. Now, I think Notre Dame's, that's pathetic. I mean, so you're going to cry about not getting in, so you're just
right.
Going to pick up your ball and go home? Is that what you're teaching these kids? I understand your frustration with the committee. I get it, but it seems a little bit childish to me to decline a bowl. Are they declining bowls for money because of the portal? Because they – you know, a lot of these guys have new coaching staffs. Why are these teams declining bowls? I thought that all this extra practice time was so beneficial to these players, Max.
Well, it used to be that was the case. But, see, I think the portals played a great role in that, where they worried about a freshman needed extra snaps or a redshirt sophomore. You're going to pull one out of the portal that's got 3 years' experience somewhere. I think that's the middle of defense for what they're doing. I don't know what the financial situation is. Normally, every place I was ever at, we played in there to add money to our budget so that the other sports had a few dollars to spend. And it was a pride thing. But you're right. I've never seen a wave like this. Notre Dame started it, and of course, I think they were pouting more than anything else.
Yeah.
The first one. But now the rest of these people have fallen in line. I don't know where it's the injury, you know, the injury situation. They want to give them a little time off and come back right after Christmas with a long off season. They're different way, they're different reasons why each one of these different schools. I dare say there's probably nothing that's consistent through that in that decision. I think some is finances, some is they could go to the portal and replace whoever that they didn't need to develop it. They'll just worry about that in the off season. I think there are different reasons for things, but I was amazed when I saw the list. I'll be honest with you. Some of those schools needed extra work without a doubt on the players that they had coming back, but they've chosen not to. I thought the athletic administration had the athletic director and all. I didn't know the coach could just say we're not going to play.
Yeah, like in the Big 12, Iowa State and Kansas State got fined $500,000 each. For declining the bowl.
Right. Probably due, if you don't know the truth, to get their attention. Now, whether they'll have to pay that or not, you know, I don't know. That may be negotiable. But the fact is, it made headlines. And, I don't think. See, that's another thing about kids opting out of this stuff. All the NCAA had to do is just extend the contract, the wording in the contract that they got to play until the football season's over. And then you interpret when the season's over.
I think, you know, all these teams opt out. You opt out, you don't get this month's NIL check or a revenue sharing check. Yeah.
There's things that you can hold over their head. That's ridiculous about oh, well, we, you know, I may get hurt. I've got to get ready for the NFL. Well, that, no, you have a contract with us first, regardless of what happens after that. You got to fulfill the contract. The contract says you play to the end of the last football game. The coaching staff interprets that as saying, hey, if we get a bowl game, you're going to play in that bowl game. I don't know why that had already been done, to tell you the truth.
I tell you one thing. It's awfully hard to coach a team and the kids don't want to play.
Sure.
You know it is. I agree with that 100%.
I think it's terrible. I think you can't – and you're at a point in time where you can't make them. Because you make it hold their checks or something, but you got a team that doesn't want to play, in the Final Four they cut the consolation game out to see who was going to be third place because they didn't want to play.
Yeah, I mean, I agree 100%, but these guys were now they're making money, if they don't want to play.
Yeah,
then you don't pay. Don't pay. If you're not playing, I mean, we're paying you to play. And if we're going to decline to play, then there ain't no pay. I mean, that's got to be how it is, Max, right? I mean, they used to play for nothing.
Well, you're absolutely right. In fact, I even thought that before the NIL started, before they paying them. I mean, just because if you remember, that was a growing emphasis for a lot of these kids getting ready for the NFL. They had to opt out. It'd be your star player, too. Well, that is, to me, is simple. That's a simple answer to that. You just, NCAA could do that. The coaches could petition NCAA to get it done because it's hurt the quality of the game. And what happens when the quality of the game goes down? The attendance goes down. And when the attendance goes down, the money goes down. I don't understand why people keep at that level in the decision-making process can't understand that. You play in those ball games, yeah, you get some exposure, but you get a check for bowl games, and that money goes to the athletic department. The other ones have the say-so back through NCAA to make changes there.
Well,
I don't know why.
The problem that you have, Max, is your attendance at bowls is going to be zero.
Yeah, true.
You're not going to get any money from the bowls to give it. It's zero. They're not going to come to see. They can, if you don't get in the finals as well, they consider you a loser.
Agreed. I agree with that. But this thing grew incrementally each year with less and less emphasis on bowl games or whatever until the playoffs started. And now the playoffs, you're going to have a few bowls that survive, yeah. I think. But all the emphasis is going to be on the playoff situation with the top 12 or coming 16 teams.
Yeah.
So, we're going through, we've talked about it before, guys, the whole game is changing right before our eyes every day almost. And some of us will like that and some of us don't. I like some things I don't. But the young coaches coming along, they're going to make the adjustments and the game's going to keep on going.
Coach Saban said it was going to ruin the bowl.
Yeah, he did. Lastly, Max, two questions for you. I've never seen Lane Kiffin turn down an opportunity to be in front of the media. He had an opportunity to fly to Atlanta and be on game day. Everybody would have been watching. He declined it. He was going, and then the night he was supposed to fly, he said he couldn't do it. I think he was trying to hire another coach and recruiting. I understand all that, but you got Zoom. There's 100 different ways to get that guy on the screen for game day. And these guys claimed they were going to ask him some tough questions. Why didn't he do that? Did he not want the tough questions? Did he want to get under the radar a little bit? What would make Lane Kiffin turn down this opportunity? And then number two, is this job going to be too big for Pete Golding?
That's a great question. I saw his interview, and he was very cautious in his interview. Back to Golden. But the fact is, don't count out Jimmy Sexton talking to Lane Kiffin every day and the way he's handled that.
Yeah.
That is the biggest connection, I think, that even in the change of jobs, hats off to LSU for putting together something to do it. But his, I saw an interview with a couple of big time alumni and contributors from LSU recently. Guys, they don't worry about Kiffin's opportunities that he's going to have. They think right now they are going into this thing, and even the amount of money they gave him, all they expect out of him in the next 3 or 4 years is just to turn the program around. If he leaves in 4 years, that's fine. In fact, one of them, he addressed him as a rooter coach. They rented him for a few years until he could get the program turned around. And then I think the next thing, I thought he was going to stay at Ole Miss until the NFL came along, and I think he's going to head back to the NFL regardless. How long it's going to take him, 2-3 years, if he win a championship or two at LSU in the next 3 to 5 years, I think he'll be doing the same thing at LSU he did at Ole Miss. He'll build the program up, but he'll be looking every day to make it. And I heard the reasoning for that from a psychologist, of all people, that remember he stayed with his dad 30 years, basically, on the sideline with Buddy. And Buddy averaged, somebody worked it out, average moving every 3 years for that length of time. And that, so he was raised in that moving environment. That's a subconscious thing about it. This was a psychologist that was sort of giving their opinion about why his attitude is like it is. But I thought it had some credence, to tell you the truth. If you grow up in that environment, that's what you know. Buddy went down, before he passed away, he was coming to the NFL as one of the great minds of defenses. And I think Lane took some of that, and I think that's part of what he does. I wish Ole Miss would get off that, talking about it every day and try to, let those go and get his staff together, and let him try to get to win a ball game or two. I don't know, to answer your question, Barry, about it's a big job too big. If it is, guess what? He and Lane made it that big. When they first got there, it wasn't that big.
Yeah.
So he's a perfect example of the end result of what happens to you after you win. So.
Yeah. I got some friends that, kind of like you described, that they'll move every – and I'm talking about in the same city. They'll buy a house, make money, sell it. Right. Moving doesn't bother them. When I talk to Jenny about moving, she's like, there ain't no way we're moving. So some people, they ain't moving, and some people, it doesn't bother. They'll just pack this stuff up and move again.
That's exactly right.
So anyway. All right, Max, what's for supper, my man, before we let you go?
All right, we did it last night. We got away from Saturday night. We did have a big cookie last night. We took a rack of steak, a rack of ribs, and I cut them into steaks. And I cut them, guys, where every steak I cut off that rack probably was 18 to 24 ounces. It was over a pound. And we grilled those on the grill. And, I mean, they were absolutely, you could cut the top up with a fork. I had two different salads. I had a big house salad and I had a cucumber tomato salad, fried okra. We hadn't had that in a while. Everybody wanted the steak, without a doubt. I mean, it was so tasty. But the end result was we had a blueberry cobbler coming right out of the oven. I mean, when I pulled it out of the oven, guys, it was still bubbling up. And I dipped that with individual saucers, and I put one scoop of vanilla ice cream right on top of each one of them. And that ice cream melted into that blueberry cobbler. I mean, that'd make you want to hit your mama. It was so good. I'm telling you, it was outstanding. We had a group. That's probably our biggest group that we have. I think it was 14 guys last night. And I didn't see a rib for the cleanup, but I did graze. That one bite of that steak left, I promise you. The top of that steak at the bone, guys, you could cut it with a fork. I'm telling you, that thing was over an inch thick. So,
what temper did you cook it on, Max?
I go on the grill. I keep that thing under 500.
Under 500, there you go.
I need to find out. Barry's got some of my steaks he had cooked, I don't think.
Yeah. You got to get to those. Thank you, Max.
All right, guys. Thank you, guys. We'll talk to
you. We gave you some pizza last night. How were those little knickknacks Jenny brought you on Saturday? Anything?
I just went where my steaks were.
Good in there that you ate?
Yeah, that was great.
Right.
I was trying to find out about my steak.
There you go. All right, we'll take this break. We'll get to the phone lines when we get back. Yellowwood pressure treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. Well, the team.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
In the NBA, Oklahoma City won its 15th straight game, 131-101 at Utah, and star Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was out with left elbow bursitis. The Lakers got Luka Doncic back on the court. He scored 31 points in a narrow win at Philadelphia, 112-108. The Boston Celtics won their fifth straight, a win at Toronto. Former second baseman Jeff Kent was elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame by a committee. The final college football playoff rankings came out, led by number one Indiana, also getting a first round bye, Ohio State, Georgia, and Texas Tech. Texas A&M will host number 10 Miami in a first round game. Notre Dame was not selected. It lost its season opener at Miami. Alabama will play at Oklahoma. In the NFL Sunday night game, Houston won 20-10 at Kansas City. Green Bay beat the Bears 28-21. Denver won its 10th in a row. Victories for the Rams and the Seahawks. Jacksonville beat the Colts.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We are looking at moderate travels right now in your primetime Monday. If you're moving on University at I-20, well, you will definitely see just some slight delays there on the eastbound off-ramp to University from I-20. And then we've also got 43 stacking up a bit more.
Which, save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. BABBEL.com.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron. From inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Second hour of Inside Locker Room, Tuscaloosa Toyota. Go to the website, TuscaloosaToyota.com. You're looking at new inventory, pre-owned inventory. Schedule service. You want to rent a Toyota, try it before you buy it. Order a part. You do it all right there at the website. Also, the specials are on there. The Toyota Tundra, 2.99 APR for 72 months, $1,000 holiday bonus cash there. The Tacoma, beautiful truck as well. 2.49%, also another $1,000 holiday bonus cash. So swing by Tuscaloosa Toyota today. Tell them that Wimp and Barry sent you. All right, we'll get to the lines right here real fast. App messages, Spanky from Tuscaloosa says, nothing like father's love. Y'all cracking me up. He also said, ask your dad if he had a guy in basketball playing poorly, he wouldn't leave him in the game, would he? He says, I tell you why they don't try backup. It's because Grub don't make changes. That's from Spanky. And then, Dad, I thought Wyatt from Jacksonville, I don't know if that's Jacksonville, Florida, or Alabama. This is the best app message of the day. If a team decides to opt out of a bowl game, why not make them ineligible for a bowl game or college football playoff appearance the following year? That would take care of it. If you opt out, you're not eligible for the playoff or a bowl game next year. How about that?
Well, if you've got a good team and you play, you won't have a hard time getting your guys to play hard because they're not going to a bowl. I think it's a problem, personally.
But I'm saying, he's saying if you opt out, then you're not eligible for playoff next year.
That could work. That'd be all right.
Yeah, I think that would take care of it, Chase. You opt out, no bowl next year, no playoff. Go ahead. See you, Notre Dame. All right, to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Ragged Glory?
Hey, good morning, coaches. Hey, Barry, I'm with you 100%. This, when you live by the sword, you die by the sword. You can't just keep beating a horse into the ground, you know, sooner or later he's going to lay down. I am totally, if I had my druthers and I was a coach, I would roll the dice. I would have brought a different package into the second half. Not benching Ty, but give him a chance to reset, reboot, have his assistants, coaches, and whatever, going over what they just had happen in the first half. Because, who knows, it could have been Mac, it could have been Russell. Bring a package in that's designed around their style of play, their skill sets, and see if a spark could get ignited. I'm like, you know what? Woo, you know, and, you know, we gave Georgia, what, three short fields, and they capitalized on that. Take those away, and it's a 7-7 game, and go into overtime.
Yeah, so I think you're right, but I do think that on the other side of that, and I don't think this is what would have happened, but if a guy – you know, makes a few mistakes, and then all of a sudden you yank him, which would not have happened here. This has been going on for a few weeks. Then they start playing not to make a mistake, and they can't play that way. They got to play loose and free, so you can't yank them.
Yeah, sandlot football, you know, backyard, you know, just have a little bit of fun.
Quit being so...
Sandlot football. Draw it up in the dirt.
There you go. You know, why not? But, you know... But I do not think we were prepared, like you said earlier, we just weren't prepared to make a change. I think we were going to just go head-to-head.
Well, I don't think that's just us. I think that's all football coaches, and I just don't understand why.
I don't either. You know what? Make a change, but make sure you have the personnel to make that change.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, they're showing you something in practice. You're working for this. Hey, why not throw the dice? Let's try something different. Let's throw the kitchen sink at them because they will not be prepared for that. Yeah. Everybody is prepared to beat Alabama the way we're playing.
Yeah, well, thank you, Dragon.
What if the change doesn't work?
I think, I think Kirby was prepared for the backup quarterback because he that's burned him plenty of times. All right, back to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Tom?
Bad. Good morning. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Good. I'm good. Good.
How are you, Tom?
You know, I really enjoy Matt coming on, and him charting the plays is a very interesting thing to me. But this team belongs in the playoffs about like I do. And their performance the last 3 weeks have really been disappointing, starting with Oklahoma. And I wonder if Mac charted the drop passes. I saw so many passes at crucial times hitting people in the face, and them not catching. I saw Brooke in the end zone, the ball come through the hands of the defender, true enough, and he stuck one hand up and the ball and dropped the pass. When he should have put both hands up, secured that ball in the end zone for a score. But he put one hand. He decided, I'm going to put one hand up. And that, you know, I'll act like I'm doing something. And then on and on, the running back thing, the line opens a hole. The running back don't hit the hole. Brooks on the end sweep, he runs wide, and he just keeps running to the sideline. He can't outrun anybody. And he could have cut up inside and got the first down, but he kept running to the sideline. This team is dysfunctional. They do not want to win. They do not want to play football. They want this season to be over. And quite frankly, I want it to be over for them too.
Well, Tom, I disagree with you. I don't think they played well lately. I do agree with that part. But when you play in the SEC, Tom, and you go through the gauntlet in a row of Georgia, who's physical, Vanderbilt, Missouri on the road, Tennessee, at South Carolina, LSU, and Oklahoma, it takes its toll on you. I mean, you're not in the Big Ten where you're playing Rutgers and then, oh, Well, we got this week. The easy games, the breaks. These guys get no breaks. These games beat you up.
They had two open days.
But I'm saying that stretch there, it takes its toll on you. I mean, they got a lot of guys on the sideline over there holding a clipboard. So to say they didn't earn their way in the playoff, I disagree with that. You go through that gauntlet, you did.
Well, I disagree with that, but I'm going to say this. Who did they beat Saturday? Well, we're talking about the gauntlet. We're talking about Georgia. We're just like we were. Well, they beat Georgia.
Well, who did Ole Miss beat Saturday? Who did Texas A&M beat Saturday?
I'm not worried about Ole Miss.
Well, I'm just saying, you got to put the best in there, and you got to go through the resume of what they did, and you can't penalize them for playing in the championship game.
Well, I tell you what.
Now, hey, I agree with you, Tom. The eye test says Bama should not be in. I agree to that.
I agree. That's what I'm.
But the resume says they should. Is that fair?
Let me say this. What about the effort? I mean, sticking up one hand, you're in the end zone. You're behind the defender. The ball comes in hot. It gets through the hands of the defender and hits you in the face, and you got one hand in there. Give me a freaking break.
Yeah, that comment.
I didn't see the play, but, you know, I don't think one monkey makes a circus. I don't think one play costs you the game. But I don't know if Tom thinks that because of that they didn't play hard. They're injured up with their running backs. They don't have enough of them. Players win games.
Tom, I hear people call other shows and talk about most talented team in the country. Give me a break, Tom. Oh, yeah, I mean, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
It is absolutely a sign of incompetence. I mean, incompetence for a coach to get up there and say, well, I still believe we got the best offense in the country. Shut up!
Well, that was Ty that said that. That was incompetence.
No, DeBoer said it too.
Oh, did he? Yeah, that's sad.
Both of them to get up there and say that is an insult to the intelligence of the Alabama fans. You have not. Phillip said it. 18 points in 3 games. Oh, we got the greatest offense in the world.
Greatest offense in the country. Don't say that. See, if you say that, then you're saying you're a bad coach. So don't, or you're a bad player. So don't say that, Ty. You're not playing like the best offense in the country. All right, we'll take the break here. When we get back, we'll get to Doug Bell. I'm looking at Doug's picks right now. This is Tide 100.9, 1230 AM. WTBC is the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Well, your rush to work just got a bit more volume, especially if you're moving in Northport toward the immediate area on the northbound lanes of 69 at Union Chapel Road. Brake lights heavy back to Charlie Shirley Road for that one. And we're also a little heavier on Lurline Wallace, northbound mainly onto McFarland. Now, traveling just now saw
the cocktails around, and our cigar selection is legendary. Our lounge and service are world-class. Come and experience the luxury of the mansion and see why it's a world-renowned cigar and spirits destination.
Crimson Tide today, presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports, and it's brought to you by Guthrie's, America's original chicken finger restaurant and a proud partner of the Crimson Tide. Visit online at guthrieschicken.com. Hello again, everybody. I'm Roger Hoover. Here are post-game thoughts from Alabama men's basketball head coach Nate Oates following Sunday's win against UTSA.
Thought it was good. Been emphasizing winning the possession game, trying to force more turnovers than we have, trying to get more old boards than we give up, because we haven't been very good at that. It's been a big point emphasis for us this year. So we tried to talk about some defensive playmaking. We were able to force 18 turnovers. We only had 5. So we're plus 13 there, and then we were able to get 19 old boards. Aiden Sherrill had six of them. He's been playing great. Three games in a row now, he's had at least three blocks as well. You know, so we got 19 old boards and gave up nine. So we're plus 23 kind of in that possession game that we've been trying to emphasize, which was good. We didn't shoot the ball particularly well, especially in the second half. I didn't think it moved quite as well as it had in the first half.
I'll have more in a moment.
This year, we honor the most important anniversary ever. An event that reshaped civilization as we know it. A day that would lead to something so flawless that nothing could ever really compare. People have tried to match it, but have failed. This year, we celebrate the 60th anniversary of Guthrie's, the home of the original chicken finger.
Just talking about it gets me all choked up.
And hungry for a chicken finger. Guthrie's, an original obsession for 60 years.
Join us Thursday for Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR, streaming live at 2 p.m. Central on all CTSN social media platforms at UA_CTSN. Crimson Tide Today is brought to you by Guthrie's. Crimson Tide Today is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
We'll forecast a clearing sky today, becoming partially sunny this afternoon, the high 48. Clear and cold tonight, the low 26. For tomorrow and Wednesday, partly to mostly sunny both days. The high tomorrow 52, the high Wednesday 57. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 46 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Come back to Inside the Locker Room. I get right to the Yellowwood Hotline. Pressure Treated Pine from Great Southern. He works for PGA Tour Radio, PGA Tour Live, CBS Sports headquarters, joins us every Monday. We have to look at his picks as well, picks games. We'll have to, I guess maybe you can pick Army-Navy this weekend. Doug Bell. Good morning, Doug. How are you, buddy?
Hey, guys. Hi, Doug. Doing great. A lot of football, but there's a lot of golf that happened this weekend, too, so let's not forget about that.
Yeah. Well, give Dad his props, his flowers. He hit his blue plate to get to 500. Yes.
Congratulations. Way to go.
Yeah, so Chase, give us the applause, that applause button.
Come on.
Hey, Chase, wait a minute. Knock the dust off that applause button and go ahead and play it. There you go.
Hey, by the way, I picked against the team that was, huh? I picked against the team that was 11-1. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. So did Doug. Doug picked that as well. So you weren't that. You copied off of Doug's paper.
No.
All right, Doug, what happened in golf? Tell us.
Well, real quick, because I know you guys have been talking a lot of football, but, you know, Hideki Matsuyama wins the Hero World Challenge, which is Tiger's tournament in the Bahamas. Albany, Bahamas is an incredible place, by the way. Only 20 players, but significant because Hideki, if you remember, won the first tournament in 2025 in Maui and had not recorded a top 10 the entire year until he won yesterday, beat Alex Noren in the playoffs. So that was significant, and Hideki beat back Seph Straka, who lives here in Birmingham, who was the leader going into the final round. And Scottie Scheffler was only one shot behind Seph, so he beat back some good players. But we should say two things there. Scottie Scheffler, who used this QI10 TaylorMade driver last year, won six times, two major championships. Just goes to show you guys, he gets paid a lot of money by TaylorMade. So he was using a brand new driver that's not available to retail stores just yet. It'll be available after 2026. It's the QI4, I think they call it. And the world's best player now says he hits it even more accurately and longer than he did before. So I don't know if that's advertising or what, but that was significant. And it was the first time that Scottie's played since the Ryder Cup, played with Jordan Spieth, who has not played at all in the fall. And Tiger made the appearance. It's his tournament. When asked if he was going to play in the Champions Tour, Tiger said, well, I haven't really even looked at the schedule. Doctors have just given me the green light to go out and putt and chip and lift weights. So he goes, I'm not even thinking about that. But he said, I am heavily involved in the new PGA Tour schedule 2027-2028, which we talked about last week, where they're going to reduce the schedule by about 15 tournaments. So that was significant. And then also Rory McIlroy, world number two, the most popular player in the world, was playing in Australia. First time in 10 years he had played in the Australian Open. That was at Royal Melbourne, one of the great courses in the world. And he just wanted to go back. Said, I haven't played in 10 years, and I wanted to go back. And the gallery, even though he didn't, he just barely made the cut, didn't play extremely well. The galleries guys in Australia, I was one of the crazy people up in the wee hours of the morning watching. It was incredible. It was like major championship galleries in Australia. So good stuff happening in golf. I know in the United States it's all about football, and I'm right there with you. But if you follow golf, professional golf, world number one was in the Bahamas. World number two was in Australia. And Tiger Woods made an appearance finally. And it looks like he may play some Champions Tour events in 2026. We'll see.
I bet he did.
He might play. I don't think he's coming to Birmingham. Let's put it that way. But he may play one or two.
How's he look?
He looks old, Barry. he turns 50 next week, and he always wears a hat. You know, he's losing his hair. God bless him. I guess we all get older and get a little thin up top. But his face does look very – it looks very tired. Bags under his eyes. You know, he does maintain a physical stature. He looks great when he's just walking around, but he still walks with a significant limp. And he walks very gingerly now after this last back surgery a month and a half ago. So to be perfectly honest with you, I was a little shocked when he was on TV. I said, oh, my goodness, he really appears that he's aged. Of course, he is 50, and he's been through a lot of medical issues here in the last 10 to 15 years. And I guess it takes its toll. And I just, you know, it's great to see him, and I hope he does get to play on the Champions Tour. I'd love to see it. I don't think he's going to get back in time to play the Masters, but I guess at some point we have to say goodbye to the legends, right? We kind of let Michael Jordan go, and we kind of let, I guess, Tom Brady go. You kind of have to let the legends go, and I think it's probably about time, even though golfers play into their 60s, I think it's about time that we let Tiger go, because I just don't think I want to remember him for being one of the greatest in my lifetime. A legendary figure, and right now I think it's great that he's an ambassador for the game. I just don't think he'll ever achieve anything on the golf course again, at least the way he looks now.
Yeah, well, he sits on that wallet. He looks better.
He looks. That's a big, heavy wallet too.
Yes, it is.
That's a big old fat wallet.
All right. Anything else golf wise we need to talk about
Yeah, Will Cannon. I don't know, Coach, you may know Will Cannon. His dad, John Cannon, passed away last year. He was the guy, the president of Sunbelt Golf, which, you know, was all the golf courses, the Robert Trent Jones trail courses. And Will played at UAB, was a two-time state amateur champion here, went to Hoover High School. He has been playing off and on the Korn Ferry Tour for years. He made it through the second stage PGA Tour Q school yesterday, and so he now advances to the final stage next week, which is at the Dye course. It's the other side of the golf course there where they have the stadium course, and they have five spots available final stage of Q school to get a PGA Tour card. So at least he has a chance, and they'll play six rounds next week for five spots. So we got to root for Will Cannon. You know, he's a guy, he's been out of college now for probably about 10 years. So he's in his early 30s. So this is his opportunity, I do believe, to maybe, if he can just put five or six good rounds together, he could get on the PGA Tour.
So Nick and the rest of them not going to get on, are they?
Well, Nick, obviously, the good news about Nick Dunlap, who continues to post these incredible pictures of him and his girlfriend in these exotic places, by the way. Good for Nick. He won twice last year, not this year, last year. And so those exemptions are 2 years from when you won. And if you remember the second one, you know, he won the American Express as an amateur. At the end of the year, won as a professional. So that carries them through all of this next season and into the next season, 2027. Wow. So, yeah, so he was very fortunate to have won. Now, he is low on the totem pole as far as status. He'll get in as a, you know, as a 2-year exemption, but He's got to play well this year. Because it's, you know, if you go out there and you just keep missing cuts, it gets expensive. So hopefully he'll have a rebound year. But he's good to go, Coach. He's got an exemption now for the next 2 years.
Here you go. All right, yeah, Doug. One of our listeners keeps your record. Chase, he's been in and out a couple of times, so maybe he missed some of your picks. So they said you were 24-21 headed into last week, which was in the money. And so you had to keep picking games. And so last week you said Ohio State versus Indiana. You said take the Buckeyes -5.5. Well, the Buckeyes didn't even win, so that would be a loss.
And, you know, I don't feel bad about that, Barry, because that was a heck of a game.
Yeah.
That was really a heck of a game. Okay. And the field goal kicker misses a chip shot, getting into overtime, and maybe you cover. But anyway, that happens. That happens.
If and buts for candy and nuts. All right.
Yeah.
Texas Tech, Dad copied your paper, I guess. I don't know if he did or not. He probably don't even remember. Texas Tech -13.5 is where you got it. You said take the Red Raiders, and the Red Raiders had a great crowd in there. It was loud, and they did cover. They just stomped BYU 34-7. So give them a victory there.
Yeah, they look good.
And then I think you went to the shelf and you started drinking moonshine for the next pick. Because I don't know what you saw in this that would made you think this. You said take Alabama +2.5. Whew. Yeah. Not only did you get beat. So that would be a loss, Doug. I ain't going to tell him the score.
All right, I remember the score.
Yeah, that runs that record of, if I'm correct, if you were indeed 24-21, that would make you 25-23 right now. Woo. For the season. So
yes, so that means we came out on top, Barry.
Well, there's still football to play.
Thanks, Coach. In weeks to come, we're going to have some picks. I was a little surprised. Alabama is now a 1.5 favorite, early favorite over Oklahoma, which I found interesting. Yeah. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
why is that? What are they seeing that we're not?
Well, a lot of things happening. Oklahoma did not play at all against LSU.
Yeah. Offensively, they're struggling. I think a couple of things. I think Alabama's going to get some key injured players back, running back, tight end, defensive lineman. I think those will be significant. And I think that factors into those odds. And I think the fact that is Oklahoma going to beat Alabama twice in one season? That I think, gosh, I just can't imagine that.
So you're leaning Alabama this game?
Well, I mean, that first game, Alabama, 515 total yards. Oklahoma had 240, I believe. The largest disparity in total yards from a team that didn't win to a team that beat them. So I'm just telling you, that's not a pick right now, but I'm just saying.
No, that game's at 1.5. Now, this has nothing to do with this year, but last year the home teams were 4-0, just so you know.
Well, I will say I haven't looked at the weather forecast, but it's going to be awfully chilly in Norman, Oklahoma. Could be snowing, for gosh sakes.
So I think Barry Switzer's got an Airbnb out there right by his house. You want to go out there?
I interviewed Jim Donnan last week on the show, and Coach Don is doing really well. He had some problems with his eye, but he seemingly is bouncing back. And, yeah, Coach Switzer has a lot of irons in the fire out there.
Does he?
He was telling me all the Airbnb and all these restaurants and things. So Coach Switzer's doing great. And he lives just, a mile or so from campus?
I think Dad could get you, you could probably stay with him if Dad called him. You want to go out there, Doug?
Yeah.
Coach, can you do that for me?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm
sure. If you get him in the Masters, he'll do that for you.
Oh, is that all I got to do? Okay.
Yeah.
He ain't
got to
get me. I can get
Masters
myself.
Oh, my bad. I didn't mean to distract you like
that. Yeah, come on.
Are you picking any games this week?
Well, you know, we got Army-Navy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Navy is the better football team. There's no question about it. And I know the whole shtick about rivalries, throw out the records, blah, blah, blah. But Navy is a better football team. And I thought it was funny, Ernie Johnson on SEC on the game day show, you know, he was the guest picker. And when asked about that game, he said, the first person to complete a pass in the game will win the game, which I thought was hilarious because they do both run similar offenses. But I think Navy covers that game and wins again over Army and continues a nice little run for them. That's my pick this week. As for the Heisman Trophy, you know, I think the kid from Indiana, Fernando Mendoza, secured the spot, even though I think Diego Pavia certainly deserves it with the schedule that they played. But at the same time, Fernando played on a national audience on Saturday night, great game, and took that vicious hit the second play of the game, went out and came back, and then that that spirited interview he did after the game.
Spirited?
On the field.
That's what you called
it?
Oh, my
goodness. Well, what would you call it?
Awkward. I'd call it awkward.
I've never seen a kid respond like that before. So obviously a very emotional moment for him. But I think that probably earned him the Heisman Trophy over Diego Pavia.
That interview or the game? Not that interview. That interview made me not vote for him.
Really? No kidding.
It was awful.
It was awful. That was terrible.
That endeared me more to him because I thought
it was creepy. It was creepy.
Why? Obviously, yeah, he's a very
excited kid. Halloween.
Yeah. Did you know his brother was the backup quarterback?
I did not know that they ran him in there to hand off. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I mean, but and listen,
Vanderbilt's quarterback plays great all year, and this Goober plays great in this one game. And
he's playing. They're undefeated now. He's played better than this one game.
Yeah.
Well, he threw the pass against Penn State.
Yeah, that Penn State pass he threw to save the game.
Yeah, that was the Heisman moment for him. But
well, give it to him.
I mean,
give it to him.
Yeah. I will say this though. You know, prior to that kickoff,
y'all bench him like Barry said. He threw an interception one time. Bench him.
I thought Alabama should have tried another quarterback for a couple series.
That's really right.
I'm surprised they didn't try something different. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was the same.
Let's just keep beating our head against the wall trying the same thing.
Yeah. That's the game's over.
And Ty Simpson, I mean, again, you start with the last month of this. He has taken some vicious hits, that young guy.
Yeah.
I mean, starting with Oklahoma. I mean, he has taken some hits. So I give him credit. Tough kid.
That didn't hurt him. I hadn't heard him.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, he's taking some vicious hits. And let me say this. You know, I was – the Indiana, what a story. I mean, it's an incredible story. And all of us, we've been following sports for a long time. Indiana has been the doormat of football for as long as we remember.
Yeah.
And great story. But if you look at the schedule – and I did before kickoff. I said, I'm just curious again. Let me go over who they played. I mean, in schedule, there's nothing the team can do. You play who's on the schedule, but – they had four absolute cupcakes, gimmies.
Who? Notre Dame, Indiana.
And then,
but they blow them out when they play teams. They just blow them out.
Well, and then they won at Oregon. Good win. I'll give you that. That was a good win. But then, you know, they massacred Rutgers. They massacred Maryland. Michigan State was down. They didn't play Michigan. They didn't play Ohio State in the regular season.
They played Ohio State in the championship.
So you're criticizing them for being the champion.
I'm just saying.
I mean, you talk about Alabama's win. You don't, but people say best win. Georgia. How about going to Oregon and beating Oregon and then beating Ohio State in the championship? That's two pretty big wins, Doug.
What does it take to impress you?
Good lands.
I'm telling you, great story. But I'm just saying during the season. They got a reprieve with their schedule.
Oh, my gosh. You're like somebody that said Cindy Crawford's not good looking because she has a mole.
I'm just saying. Now, we'll see what happens. Now, they get the home game, first round of the playoff. They get a bye.
No, they don't get a home game. They're not getting a home game.
Oh, yeah, they go to a big bowl game, right. But still, we'll see how they fare.
But they've had a great – they should be number one. Doug, we got to let you go. Before we go, though – we had a listener text me that says that Tiger Woods' son, Charlie, may be coming to Alabama to play golf. Ask Doug if that's true. Do you know anything?
I know they're recruiting him. And I know Stanford, his daughter went to Stanford, and Stanford wants Charlie to follow in his dad's footsteps. And so we'll see. But, yeah.
Is Justin Thomas, is he helping Alabama recruit him?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And they're, I will say this, Charlie and JT, JT's almost a father figure. I mean, he's getting up there. And he and Charlie text all the time. So, I mean, they – so, yeah, that is a legitimate story, and wouldn't that be huge for Coach Sewell?
Yeah, and Tuscaloosa, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, he's already – Coach Sewell is already knocking out of the park with recruiting right now. If he should get Charlie Woods now, oh, my goodness.
What year is Charlie?
He has one more year to go.
So he's a junior.
Yeah, he'll be a senior. He led Benjamin High School, the private little school where Jack Nicklaus
is. But is Charlie, is he that good where he could play at Alabama?
Yeah, that's a great question, Barry. He would not be the dominant player at Alabama.
Yeah.
And I think JT's kind of convincing him, listen, you're going to get even better next year. You keep playing in these junior tournaments, and you go to Alabama, and you really will elevate your game because you're going against guys who are better than you and a little older than you.
So would he get more NIL money than the starting quarterback at Alabama?
What a good question, Barry. I don't think he needs NIL money. Let's just put it that way.
Well, you don't always want to ask daddy for money, so he probably needs some. All right, we still talking about Casa de Campo, or have you already gone?
No, guys, I'm flying there this Saturday. I'll be coming to you next Monday from the Dominican Republic.
Nice. So,
yeah, check out CasaDeCampo.com. They cut the ribbon Friday on Teeth of the Dog, and the pictures are – I'm jealous that I'm not down there already, but the weather's like 86 degrees, sunny. The golf course is beautiful. Check it out, CasaDeCampo.com.
25 and 23. Thank you, Doug.
Love it. See you guys. Doug.
All right, let's talk about Bryant Bank before we get to break.
Bryant Bank, outstanding bank, a bank that opened up a business or a personal account. Go by and tell them that you heard it on Inside the Locker Room. They'll be great to you. They'll help you all they possibly can. If your kids want to open up a bank account, they'll be darn sure that your kids understand exactly what all a bank account does and how to handle that, which will be very helpful to them. So go by Bryant Bank, visit with them, and tell them you heard it on Inside the Locker Room.
All right, we got the vinegar tip. We got a brag on Dad hitting the blue play special brought to you by Brian Hard Construction. And we got Joe on hold. That's a whole show right there. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama Sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. It has been a fairly quiet morning, and we just continue to roll with that. Moving on 43 southbound at McFarland. Well, traffic not as heavy as it was. As a matter of fact, it's calmed down considerably. And for folks coming in from Northport on 69 southbound at Union Chapel Road, those brake lights are a lot lighter.
Contact Courtney White at 205-242-5127. North River Timber, co@gmail.com. North River Timber Company.
The best station in the state, breaking down Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. This vinegar tip for this Monday brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance. Give Michael and his staff a call. They will set you right up. 205-752-8500. What we got this morning?
Well, it's sort of something they said about your digestion. You drink apple cider vinegar before bed. It may support you digesting your food. It helps regulate your blood, your sugar levels, and I got a bad sugar level, and it'll assist in your weight management. But whatever you do there, if you're drinking, it doesn't say how much. You don't want to drink so much that you cause, you know, throat irritation or acid reflux, but you want to drink enough, and I'll find out how much that is, in order that your digestive system will take care of all the food that you've eaten for supper or that you've eaten that day. So you can, they do say, after looking at it, that you could dilute about one tablespoon of vinegar in a glass of water and take it a couple of hours before bed. I didn't see that, obviously. So take it a couple of hours before bed. And y'all knocking something down in there, I don't know what it is. But before bed, rather than immediately before laying down, and take it consistently to be sure that you get the benefits of it. So drinking some apple cider vinegar will help you in your digestive system.
Yeah, that's Gary. Gary can never be a burglar. He can never, like if he was a teenager, he could never sneak out at night because your parents would get him every time. Gary is the loudest guy when he enters the room.
Good. Nice.
Could you hear him?
Hear him? Great day in the morning.
Yeah. If he was a burglar, he wouldn't be very good. If he's going to commit a crime, don't go with him because you're going to jail.
If he's a burglar, you wouldn't even have to lock your door.
No, if he's a burglar, you got him. He'd wave at the camera as he bangs something walking in. 205-752-8500, Michael McGuire. State Farm Insurance. All right, get to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. Hey, I'm with you, Barry, after the second three and out.
Oh, take a hike.
Back in there.
Thank you, Joe.
Take a hike.
I'm going to talk to Gary about this off the air, too. I don't understand college football coaches. I mean, it's like the quarterback's got pictures on them. They won't take the quarterback out for every other sport. You take a guy out. Every other position, they take linemen out. They'll take receivers out. Hey, quarterback, we ain't taking him out. We might hurt his confidence.
The next time y'all coach a game in football will be your first time.
Go ahead, Gary.
Well, I got a theory on why he didn't take him out on Saturday, okay?
Let's hear it.
All right, because I was sitting there at the game thinking, take him out. I think DeBoer was thinking ahead. Hey, listen, if we pull our quarterback in this game, that's a bad sign to the committee that we got issues. And now, earlier in the season, a couple times, I don't know. Last year with Milroe, I don't know. But in that game, Barry, I think that he did not want to send a message to the committee that we don't know who our quarterback is going into the game.
Oh, my
exactly
God.
Because otherwise, you should have.
Joe, I want you to answer me this, too. And Gary, you can chime in. I thought it was a mistake to go for it on fourth down. You don't want to get beat. Punt it and only lose 21-10.
Horrible.
You weren't going to win that game, Joe. Why go for that?
I know. I agree with you there.
Yeah.
That was awful.
But, I'm not saying you bitched. Just put a guy in and see what he can do for two series. If he plays really well, the team starts moving, lead him in there. If he doesn't, switch it back. Would you play a point guard that wasn't playing defense, Joe? You bench him. But you go back to him.
But Barry,
yeah,
you play to win the game.
Thank you. Why is this, Joe, that people won't take the quarterback? That's not just a Kalen DeBoer. Even Nick Saban, that he did, I know, in the national championship game, and give him credit, that won him a championship. But none of these guys do. Last year, we wouldn't take Milroe out either. Why?
Yes, and Barry, what was the excuse? He would lose the team. Well, what's his excuse this year? He definitely would not lose the team.
No.
I think Hey, Barry, it's part of the problem with the team now.
I mean, these guys are making money. What are we worried about, hurting somebody's feelings? What are we doing here?
That's it. Hey, Barry, if I'd have told you on October the 15th that Vandy would be leading the SEC in quad one wins with four and we would have three, would you believe that?
No.
Exactly. That's where we're at. Did you see State and Bucky give their games away yesterday?
No, I did not. But the SEC is not doing well. Tennessee should not.
What'd Bucky do wrong?
What'd Bucky do wrong? He said, "I didn't see it."
He had the lead. He had all the momentum, and Griffin took a bad shot, and then they had a turnover, and they caught him, and they went into overtime, and they were just dead in the overtime. They were lifeless.
Did he substitute a lot?
Yeah, he did. He's doing that now. Griffin didn't
even. He always does that.
I'm gonna tell you something. You substitute a lot when they're paying you they'll be gone. I need to tell him. I've tried to reach you. You can't substitute a lot like that. You can't do it.
Well, yeah. They'll leave you. State's coach. Well, get this. State's coach. There's less than a minute in the game. They're one down. They've got two timeouts to waste. You know how many they use? Zero.
Yeah, and Tennessee losing in Nashville to Illinois is a good team, but Tennessee didn't look good. Then Auburn, of course, Stephen Pearl said he should not have scheduled that game. I agree. You talk about home court advantage now. Arizona, oh my goodness, that place is electric out there. So,
is Arizona coming to Auburn next year?
I would hope. If you went there, they better.
I would too.
Yeah. So.
I would too. So
I hope, they don't come.
I'd tell them not to come as good as they are. So. Thank you, Joe. All right, Cole, hang on for Gary. We got to get out. I'm not knocking Ty. I think Ty's had a great year.
He's knocking him.
I just think you got to try. See if the guy can get you a spark. And then put him back.
He's disappointed that Alabama got in the final 12.
But if they give you a spark and all of a sudden you start moving it, you stay with the guy. And they got some good quarterbacks over there. That's not just Kalen DeBoer. That's just about every coach in college football and the NFL. I don't get it. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports. Have a great day, everybody.